Good morning. Would you please stand?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is the public comment period. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on anything not on the agenda this morning? Okay, seeing no one coming this way, we'll go down to the consent calendar. Is there anyone like to pull anything off the consent calendar? Seeing no one, I need a motion.
So move.
Moved by
yeah,
Dick?
So move.
You second it? Who second it?
I'll second it.
Jeff second it. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried 5-0. We have to wait. I was too fast this morning. Okay, we have 9:10. Are we going to do a correspondence?
No, we can do these.
We can do these?
B8.
Okay, we can do that. Let's go down to B8.
Yes, thank you. It is a pleasure to be back this week and also to address this issue, which is a request to the Board of Supervisors to place the 20-year countywide transportation 1/2-cent sales tax ordinance on the November 2008 ballot. This measure, also called the Stanislaus County Better Roads, Safer Streets programs, has received the support and recommendation of the 9 cities in Stanislaus County and the StanCog Policy Board. It is staff's recommendation that you do approve the staff recommendation today, which is to order the election and direct the county elections official to place the measure called the Stanislaus County Better Roads, Safer Streets Program Transactions and Use Tax Ordinance on the ballot for the next statewide election, which occurs not less than 88 days after the date of this order.
Is there any comments from the board?
May I make a comment?
Yeah.
I would like to clarify, several weeks ago when this subject was brought up and I brought up some objections in the process, at 1:00 in the afternoon, all that was taken care of. And as I stated, I am full support of this and I always have been. I did have some questions, but they were answered. And I just want to let those who perhaps watch that event know that I'm in full agreement for the 1/2-cent tax and wish to go forward with it.
Okay. Well, is that a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
Yeah. No more discussion.
Wait a minute. Do you want to discuss it before we get to second?
Well, I'd just like to make comments.
Okay, well, sure. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm probably one of the last ones in this county that would support sales tax increase or any kind of tax increase, but in this particular instance, I think that there's no other choice. Our roads are deteriorating, and we just do not have the money to rebuild these roads. And this initiative that we'll probably put on the ballot today is far better than what we had in the last one. All 9 cities this time have approved it. And the improvements that I like about this over the last time is that 50% of the money goes to local jurisdictions, where last time I think it was 30%. And we have 3 regional projects, north, south, and central projects where the other 50% is going into. And it's just a far better plan. Plus it's a 20-year plan instead of a 30, which I think is an improvement. I think, tax increases are something that people resist. You know, I certainly have all my life, but in this particular instance, if we don't do this and have some of our own money, we're not going to be able to access money from the state and the federal government that we need to complete these projects. If we have some of our own money, we can access this money and get projects built. If we don't have any of our own money, we're not going to be able to access this money, and that money is going to wind up going to Southern California and the Bay Area instead of us. So I am in support of this for these reasons.
Well, before I get a second, then, Jeff, you have any?
I'd like to make the second.
Okay, you'd like to make the second?
I'll second.
Okay, do you have a comment? Any comment?
No.
How about Bill? You don't have any comment?
No comments.
Okay. So now it's up to the voters of this county when we do this to either pass it or defeat it, one way or the other. Okay, now we got a first and a second. I'll put it before the board. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried 5-0. Okay. The second thing, we go down to B9.
Good next step.
Approval to accept the internal audit report prepared by Internal Audit Division of the Auditor Controller's Office. Larry? Good morning.
Good morning. Chairman Mayfield, board members, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doring. My name is Larry Hall. I'm the County Auditor Controller. With me today is Lauren Klein, a Chief Internal Auditor. And assisting with the presentation today is Stephen Sheffield from the Internal Audit Division. Before you today is a presentation for the acceptance of the internal audit reports prepared by the Internal Audit Division. As stated in the agenda item, auditing is an integral element of governmental accountability. The internal audit function helps ensure that policies and procedures adopted by the Board of Supervisors and county management is adhered to. The internal auditing program provides the Board of Supervisors and the citizens of Stanislaus County objective assurance and consulting services designed to add value and improve county operations. Before we start today, I'd just like to thank the board for their support, and I'd also like to thank the departments for their cooperation in helping us complete these reports. I'll now have Lauren provide a summary of the audits completed.
Good morning, Chairman Mayfield, Supervisors, Mr. Robinson, and Mr. Doring. This morning I would like to present to you those engagements that have been completed by the Internal Audit Division since our last presentation. And as Larry said, I would also like to thank all the departments for the cooperation in completing these engagements. So the Internal Audit Division has completed 89 engagements. There's 2 compliance examinations, 5 financial compliance reviews, 2 non-audit engagements of internal controls over cash receipts, 1 non-audit request from the Chief Executive Office, 51 payroll reimbursement audits, and 28 purchasing card audits. We examine the county's compliance with the Treasury Oversight Committee provisions that are contained in the county's Treasury Pool Investment Policy and the investment policy for the proceeds from the securitization of the tobacco industry's master settlement agreement as of June 30th, 2007. We also reviewed on a quarterly basis the Treasury Statement of Assets. In addition, at the request of the Auditor Controller, we reviewed the annual property tax administration fee cost calculation for the year ended June 30th, 2007. These engagements were performed under auditing standards issued by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Government Accountability Office. Based upon our work performed, we found the county to be in compliance with California Government Code sections and county policy. We did note 3 of the 7 engagements were issued management comments. The Internal Audit Division identified 12 departments that have cash handling transactions that are considered high risk. The high risk was determined either by the volume and or nature of these transactions, along with remote locations if applicable. We performed 1 of these engagements for division within a department. The major findings noted for the engagement were the outside checking account was not reconciled due to accumulated balances from prior years. A lack of segregation of duties and security over cash could be strengthened. We also performed a surprise review of cash handling for 1 of the departments. We issued some management comments which we perceived as internal control weaknesses and non-compliance with their department procedures. We were also asked by the Chief Executive Office to perform an engagement at 1 of the clinics at the Health Services Agency. During this engagement, we reviewed the revenue and expense cycle. The time period we reviewed was from July 1st through December 31st, 2006. Some of the major findings we noted during this engagement revolved around the timeliness of closing the monthly accounting records in order to issue financial operating statements and the transfer of data from 1 accounting module to another. Since the period we have reviewed, the department has made numerous changes to the operations of the clinics. Many of these findings we noted during this engagement may no longer be applicable or relevant. The internal audit division will be performing a follow-up engagement in the near future to ascertain the current status of these findings we noted during the engagement. The division has also completed 51 payroll reimbursement engagements for various departments and related agencies. These engagements are based on compliance with the county travel policy and payroll reimbursement requirements. The periods we tested were fiscal year 2003, 2004, 2005, and 2006, 2007. The total number of transactions tested was 11,656, and the amount tested was 307,907. 18 of these departments had no major findings for this series of engagements. For the remaining departments, major findings consisted of the following. Signatures and or approvals on timesheets were missing from both supervisors and employees. Travel pre-approval forms and or travel authorizations to support the supervisory approval prior to the travel were missing or incomplete. A lack of documentation for the county business purpose in support of the reimbursement was also missing. In addition, missing itemized receipts. And one department reimbursed employees for cell phone usage at a monthly flat rate without seeking board approval for the policy. The division also completed 28 purchasing card engagements for various departments and related agencies. These engagements are based on compliance with the county purchasing card and travel policy and were requested by the Board of Supervisors in 2001. The periods we tested were fiscal year 2003, 2004, and 2004-05. The total number of transactions tested was 9,764 in the amount of $1,652,698. Five of these departments had no major findings. For the remaining departments, major findings consisted of the following. We noted 42 transactions incurred that were inappropriate county expenditures in the amount of $2,868. Many of these expenses were not reimbursed to the county due to the employees either retiring or no longer employed by the county, or it would be difficult to determine who to seek reimbursement from some of these transactions. I will say the number and dollar amount of these transactions are less than 1% of our testing population. We also noted missing itemized receipts and the required monthly purchasing card reconciliations along with the monthly reports that are reviewed by the department head were missing, lack signatures, or were not performed timely. And in conclusion, the work performed by the Internal Audit Division fulfills the board priority of ensuring efficient delivery of public services. I would be happy to answer any questions that the board may have. Thank you.
Is there any questions from the board?
I just had one. I noticed in these reports that when there was reimbursements were required for improper charges, that when employees no longer work for the county, that there seemed to be no effort to try and recover the money.
There is an effort made by the departments. Many times they're not successful from what we understand.
In some cases, if you have an employee that is retired, they could be living out of state, or the dollar amount would not really justify pursuing reimbursement for an individual that has left county service. So we really leave it up to the departments as far as what actions they feel would be appropriate or what actions that they could take.
I mean, there but is a letter at least sent out that they owe this much, or you don't even do that?
I do not know as far as, you know, for the departments, we just leave it up to them, so I can't say specifically.
I do know on some of the departments they do send out, they do make an attempt to try and collect that money.
And they should, because we have a revenue recovery department and the treasurer or tax collector that should
right.
be able to do that. I just noticed time and time again that, you know, no money was recovered because the person no longer worked for the county, but that shouldn't be a reason. We shouldn't go after it.
But if you leave it up to the departments, they all have to be accountable for everything that, this is all public money to begin with.
Correct.
They all have to be accountable to you. If you're going to do the audit, how are we going to correct them?
As far as the follow-up is concerned, I think each department, because they are responsible as far as how they manage the funds, public funds. And depending on the situation, whether it's a follow-up letter that is sent or if they are turned over to collections, really it's up to the department to make that call. We do go back if there are findings that are not addressed. When we go back out for a second audit, we do review and look at things like that to see if there has been follow-up or change on the department's in the department's behavior, or if they've changed their processes, or if there is more follow-up that they need to do.
What happens, just a plain ordinary question, what happens if they don't?
Then we would bring it again back to the board to say that, you know, here's an area that we have noted that there was expenditures that were being made that weren't consistent with county policy, and this issue was not being addressed. It would be brought back as another finding, and it would be noted that it's not being addressed by the department.
Dick, you want to ask something?
Could that be deducted from their budget? If they're held accountable for their budget, and they are not able to collect it, can they then take them from their budget?
You know, I really can't answer that question. I don't do the budget piece.
I'm just curious if they're responsible, and I don't know the consequences. I'm talking off the top of my head.
Right.
But it seemed like, for example, if they're given the budget and they're responsible for the expenditure of that money, and it hasn't been handled in a proper manner, we're still owed that money, and it penalizes the county as a whole. So I'm merely thinking out loud. I don't know.
Well, that's okay, Dick. We're all thinking out loud. We're thinking that if they can't reconcile their expenses with the money that they're given, if we can't do it, who can do it? You can't do it. We can't do it. Who does it then? It's just a plain simple, who's going to take care of the ones that continually, I've been through a lot of these, okay, and there's always the same ones that haven't filled out this, they haven't filled out that. But at some point, there should come to an end to some of these things. They know what they're supposed to do. Do you want to say something?
Yeah, if you don't mind, I would like to. First, I do want to express my appreciation to Larry and Lauren and to your audit staff. You've done an exceptional job. I think as board members have seen the audit reports come through year after year, you've seen improvement year over year, mm-hmm. and substantial improvement. We're not 100% yet. As an example, in each department head deals with the unreimbursed cost differently. In the case of the CEO's office, if we were aware of something, I would first attempt to collect from the department head or from the employee. And if the employee didn't pay or we weren't able to get them, I would personally pay it because I feel that responsibility. I'm ultimately responsible in my department. The good news is that we're in looking at 11,000 transactions, approximately $2,800. Mm-hmm. That money could be taken from a departmental budget, but it would be $10 or $15, or I think the largest was $100 or in that neighborhood, as I recall. So we're not there yet, but as a result of the efforts, the direction of the Board of Supervisors and the efforts of the audit division of the Auditor Controller's Office, we've made tremendous strides in establishing levels of accountability in the departments. And I'll be the first to say that we're not there. We have implemented over the last year since the last audit presentation a process under which department heads are evaluated on their ability to meet the requirements of the internal audits, and that's part of our evaluation process now. And will be on a go-forward basis. That was something we heard the board members mention During this last discussion we had with Mr. Ha and his team's presentation, it's something that we're implementing and moving forward with. I wish I could say that we are 100% compliant. I think the reality is that we will never reach 100%, but we will always strive to reach 100%. And our goal in this organization is continuous improvement, and our desire is to see significant improvement year over year. One thing that we have implemented, and Larry and Lauren are spearheading it now, that will be done, I believe, the end of July, is audit workshop to help departments understand what the requirements are for the internal audits, what the expectations are, what the rules and regulations are. We experience turnover, and we haven't done, as an organization, as good a job as we could have in educating our new employees who have this responsibility. And so we've identified and acknowledged that in fact, is a weakness in our system, not in the audit requirements and not in the organizational structure, but we do have a training element that we need to be responsible and accountable to. And so we're implementing that training effective immediately that we think will help address some of the issues that were identified in this most recent round of audits. I think that the auditor controller staff will acknowledge that the audits are getting better each year and that the compliance issues that have been identified are being addressed as we go forward and that we are improving. However, I will be the first to acknowledge that we're not there yet.
To break the, just a minute, Bill, to break this down in just a few words, if the department has the same problem and it continues to have, you're going to talk to them?
Absolutely, and okay. That is part of our review process now.
That's part of what you do?
Yes.
Okay, and we want these people out here that do the audits to feel like their work is not in vain. And, Bill, what do you have to say?
Just a quick comment. In an organization this big, we're never going to be 100%.
Right.
I think it's impossible to ever be at 100%. But what I'm hearing from the board is we're just not acceptable yet.
I'd like to add that we have started the new series of purchasing card audits, which is covering 3 years, including 07-08. And so far we've been out to at least 12 departments and have completed the field work, and we've already seen significant improvement as of 07-08. So I think the message is getting out there.
Okay.
I think the departments are listening.
And the issues that we find today are nowhere near the issues that were found a few years ago.
No. Yeah.
However, the part that frustrates me is seeing the slide of department heads not signing off on things, timesheets not being signed. We've got to set the policy that our payroll clerks cannot pay things that aren't signed.
Yeah.
And the only hammer that the Board of Supervisors has is on our CEO. And I think we need to direct him to the direct department heads that these issues will be taken care of. There's no, hey, we'll let it slide. These things have to be taken care of. This is taxpayer dollars, and not reimbursing an improper use of taxpayer dollars is not an option. But it's got to come from the CEO, and I think I'm hearing it from the board that we're telling our CEO these problems are going to be fixed.
I need to admit something to the board. I am the biggest culprit of not signing the timesheets because I didn't realize that there was a front and a back signature. And so I signed months and months of timesheets on the front, not realizing there was a back signature. So I need to publicly acknowledge that audit exception is principally mine, and it was due to my own ignorance. But
clearly that should have been returned. The very first one should have been returned to you from the payroll clerk saying this isn't proper. And our culture has said, oh, it's okay, we'll let our auditor catch it. No. Payroll clerk is the one who's punching it in the computer. They should say, this isn't right, time out, stop. Ring the bell, something's wrong.
And we have implemented more trainings for payroll staff throughout the county, and we've also changed the timesheet to reflect only one signature required and to incorporate, instead of in two pages, in a single page, all of the information and data necessary for the department head to verify time worked and charges against the travel charges that would be reflected on the time card. So I agree with you completely. From the CEO's office responsibility, I didn't sign it. I have to accept the responsibility. My payroll clerk, I can't even speak to that because, you know, I have to be accountable for my shortcomings, and that was mine. I agree with you. We will train our, and we are training our payroll clerks better, and we are training our department heads better now, too.
Yeah. It's much easier to stop the problem when it first arises. Absolutely. Than to let our auditor find it, bring it back in a report, and for us then to direct you to fix something that...
Well, you're making me feel a lot better right now. Jeff, you have something to say?
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the internal audit reports.
And I'll second.
No, I need a second.
I'll second.
Okay, Bill O'Brien seconded. I hope there's no payroll clerks out there.
Supervisor Mayfield, if you don't get a paycheck, you know, next week, you'll understand why.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried 5-0. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You're under the gun, I know.
Thank you for pointing out our weakness.
All you payroll clerks, you can go back to work. Okay, we have a 9-10 public hearing. It's a public hearing to consider the approval of the 208-209 annual assessment for the county service area number 4, 14, 16, and 25. I'm not sure what they're at, but okay. Here, let's go.
Okay. Good morning, Chairman Mayfield and board members. I'm David Guy, and I'm with Stanislaus County Department of Public Works. I also like to introduce Denny Ferrara, who worked this
morning.
His first year working with us in the CSA and Lighting District Administration Group. And I'd also like to point out this year we made a number of very positive changes implemented by our senior management team to implement a much more detailed, we think much more informative report format. We also introduced a new methodology, working with some of our most experienced engineers came downtown and helped us engineering technicians to improve how we put together the costs for maintenance, and made a number of very positive improvements that our senior management team put in place. To do this in less than 2 months is a little bit stressful. When Denny came to us, he looked a lot like Mr. DeMartini. And I regret to report that it was so stressful that all of Denny's hair fell out. So we're glad to have him. He did a great job with our team here. And so I'll move on to cover my script here. This public hearing is for the purpose of receiving comments regarding the fiscal year 2008-2009 assessment for the various county service areas and landscape and lighting districts. The county service areas included in this hearing are CSAs numbers 4 through 14 and CSAs numbers 16 through 25, as Mr. Mayfield mentioned earlier. The landscape and lighting districts include the Bret Harte, Bystrom, Howard McCracken, Laurel, Paradise South, Riverdale, Riverview, and Shackelford districts. In other words, at this meeting, we're asking you to approve the assessments and the engineering reports for all of our county service areas and landscape and lighting districts that we administrate. Of the proposed assessments, none would be reduced this year. 2 are first-year assessments. 12 are the same as last year, and 15 would be increased. The special districts, the special districts that would have the assessment increased have an approved method to calculate the annual assessment, and therefore no ballot procedure is required. The proposed assessments for all special districts are in conformance with Proposition 218. Staff requests that anyone wishing to speak please indicate the number or name of the special district that they would like to discuss. If anybody would like to talk about it from the audience or the staff. Interest in that, I mean, no requests for information. Do the chairman and members of the board have any questions regarding these service areas or landscape and lighting district engineer reports before you open the public hearing?
Anything from the board? Okay, I'm going to open the public hearing.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to open the public hearing. Anyone out there would like to speak on this matter? Don't all rush up at one time, okay. I'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the board. Any questions from the board? If not, I need a motion. O'Brien, do you want to do that?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
DeMartini, you want to second it? No. Oh, you Jeff did, okay.
He already beat
me. Okay, he beat me to it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried 5-0. The second one, we have a public hearing at 9:15.
Thank you.
Good morning, Sonia, Jamie. Morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairman Mayfield, members of the board, CEO Robinson, Mr. Doring, hiding over there in the corner. We're here this morning to, with our proposed rate adjustments for the franchise, for the garbage rates in the unincorporated area of the county. The three things that we're going to talk about are the bulky item collection program, the proposed residential commercial drop box rate adjustments, and a revision to the rate adjustment process. As you're aware in
Thank you, Christine.
On May 20th, we brought before you as a part of our legal dumping report a recommendation for the bulky item collection rate. At that meeting, the rate was reduced from $1.50 per residence per month to 55 cents per month. I wanted to briefly explain to you how we calculated this rate. What we did is we took the actual rate that was adopted by last year, we subtracted the $1.50 off, and then we times it by the percent increase, and then added back in the 55 cents. And the reason for doing that in that way is we wanted to make sure that the complete $1.50 for the bulky item collection was reduced and that the percentage increased was not associated with the combined base rate and the bulky item rate. The proposed rate adjustments, there's approximately 25,000 subscribers in the unincorporated area. 22% may see between a 9.2% and a 12.3% decrease in their rates. 78% of the residents in the unincorporated area would see a 0.3 to a 0.45% increase. The proposed rates for the residential, what we call the basic cart service, which is one 90-gallon can picked up once a week, would go from, for Bertolotti Disposal, their current rate is $21.43, and the proposed rate is $22. For Jilton Solid Waste Management, the current rate is $20.83. The proposed rate is $18.91. For Modesto Disposal or Waste Management, Inc., the current rate is $22.22, and the proposed rate is $22.81. For Turlock Scavenger, the current rate is $21.36, and the proposed rate is $22.32. Proposed commercial rate adjustments are as follows. There's approximately 3,000 commercial bins in service right now. 44% of those bins would remain unchanged. 37% would see a 3.4% to a 5% decrease, and 19% of the commercial customers would see a 2.4% increase. A two-yard commercial bin currently for Bertolotti Disposal is $72.17. The proposed rate is $72.17. For Jilton Solid Waste Management, the current rate is $69. The proposed rate is $70.66. Modesto Disposal Waste Management is currently $33.62. The proposed rate is $69.94. For Turlock Scavenger, the current rate is $75.08, and the proposed rate is $72.53. We are proposing a change in the drop box haul charge. All companies have this. All the rates for all the companies are the same. So for a 10 to 19 yard box, it's currently $95. The proposed rate is $105. For a 20 to 29 yard box, the current rate is $125. The proposed rate would be $138. For a 30-yard or larger box, the current rate is $148, and the proposed rate would be $163. As a part of the revision to the rate adjustment process, staff has had numerous meetings with the franchise holders as well as the consultants. Our draft methodology is nearly complete. Our plan is to return to the board in September with a recommended methodology. And at this time, if you have any questions, Jamie and I would be happy to attempt to answer them.
Is there any questions of the staff? Seeing no one. This is a public hearing. I want to open the public hearing. Is there anyone out in the public who would like to speak to the board? Okay. Bring it back to the board for action.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay. Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay, there we go. It's been moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried 5-0. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we go down to correspondence.
Sorry. This. We have new mics.
You're on.
What's happened?
But it won't. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, now. Thank you.
Okay.
This board has received a letter from the Governor's Office of Emergency Services thanking the county and Chief Henshaw for the assistance provided by Public Information Officer Rohinder Singh during the June 2008 lightning fires.
And we acknowledge receipt.
This board has received a notice from the Public Workshops regarding the California Environmental Quality Act scoping meeting for the department, for the development of a drinking water policy for the Central Valley from the Regional Water Quality Board, Central Valley Region.
Refer to the Chief Executive Officer and the Department of Environmental Resources.
And this board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Is there any Board of Supervisors reports? Jim?
Yeah, I would like to make one, Mr. Chairman. The Stanislaus County Retirement Board has just completed its fiscal year on June 30th, and we certainly had a miserable year this year with our investments. Our losses amounted to $142 million this year, with a whopping $94 million just in June alone. Every sector of our investments lost money this year, whether it was bonds, small caps, large caps, real estate, there were foreign securities. Every single one of them lost money. When we went into the beginning of the year, we were 97% funded. We're certainly less than that now, but I don't know what those figures are until this afternoon. But I just wanted to report that The investment sector did not do very well. I don't think anybody made any money this year anywhere. But that's the report on that. $142 million loss.
Is there anyone else? Okay, well, Jim, then you'll keep us involved and up to date on the retirement board.
You're not planning on retiring soon, are you?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I want to get it before it's gone.
Yeah, well, we still have $1.3 billion
okay,
in the fund, so
okay.
We got enough to fund you for a few months anyway.
Okay, but you'll keep us up to date.
Yeah, I will.
Okay,
I've
thank
been
you,
on
Jim.
The board.
Okay. No one else? Now we have our CEO, Legislative, Fiscal, and Management Report from our Chief Executive Officer.
Yes, as you well know, a great deal has been occurring in Sacramento that could have significant adverse effect on the county's final budget. One thing that we're experiencing is ongoing requests for support and opposition to budget-related bills with very little time to respond to those requests. I'm requesting first your approval for the chairman to sign letters opposing legislative measures that would divert local funding to fix the budget crisis, and that's item A under the ledge reports. This is necessary because the turnaround time that we have in working with through the normal process that I employ on ledge matters just doesn't provide the 24-hour turnaround time that we sometimes will need to be responsive. As an example, discussions relating to Prop 1A, Prop 10, and Prop 42 funding, as well as Prop 63, which we believe is off the table now, could cost us for Prop 1A $4.2 million if the property taxes are taken in the 08-09 fiscal year. Prop 10, $6.5 million in annual income to local program funding is occurring in Prop 42, which is our transportation, $5.2 million for roads and transit is in our budget and anticipated. So my first request is that you provide approval for the chair to sign as necessary letters in opposition to or in support of measures which will support the ongoing funding stream that counties require and that we've built into our budget for 2008-2009.
Is there anyone on the board who would have would oppose the fact that I could sign a letter and return it right away so that we, when we oppose something as a group, that does anyone have a problem with that? I'll start down. Any problem with that?
No, sir.
Dick?
No problem.
Okay, how about you, Martini?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Pardon me?
No, I have no
problem. No problem. Jeff?
I'll be glad to make a motion.
Okay. Okay, I got a motion.
I'll be happy to second it.
Okay, I got a second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, now I got the power, boys.
Good. Okay. The second, I wanted to give you a brief update on what is happening in Sacramento this week. And effectively, publicly, nothing is happening, which is a very strange circumstance given the fact that the legislature is already in default in not passing its budget on time. We are significantly, as I've already reported to you, at risk in a number of local programs. I didn't even touch on the potential effects of our BHRS and CSA programs that are potentially on the chopping block. I spoke mostly to the program funding streams that you are most familiar with. We are now more in a wait and see mode. We have no illusions that nothing is actually going on in Sacramento. We know that a great deal is occurring, but it's occurring behind closed doors. It's occurring with the legislative leadership and the administration. It could be a month. It could be tonight when we hear something definitively. So we just want to poise ourselves to be as prepared as we can be to be responsive and to be in play as the recommendations begin coming forward.
Isn't it great that we do all our business in public? It's not behind closed doors. So I have to applaud the board for that. Thank you all that we do it this way. Okay, with that, we have a closed session before I adjourn.
Correspondence.
Oh, correspondence.
I did that.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have...
You're checking up on me, aren't you?
I am.
Okay, well, I knew I did that.
We have a closed session this morning. This will be a conference with legal counsel pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9C, and this is anticipated litigation. We're going to discuss one case. We do not expect any report out.
What was that last number, Jack?
That was Subdivision C.
Oh, okay, just wanted to make sure. Okay, thank you all. We're adjourned.